ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا.
من يهده الله فلا مضل له
ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, then to continue with الأصول الثلاثة, the three fundamental principles of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, then we were still on the second fundamental principle, the servant's knowledge of the religion of Islam along with the proofs. And last week we had the proof for the second justification, that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the author, Shaykh al-Islam, he brought an evidence for that. One of the very many evidences for that. And he brought the ayah from Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 128. And Shaykh al-Fawzan makes it clear that this ayah, of course it's a proof, what the author brought it for, that Allah's, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was indeed the Messenger of Allah. And Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions that the ayah gives us five characteristics of the Messenger, which were that he is from you people, and that he was one who was troubled by whatever troubles you, whatever troubles his nation, troubled him, and that he was eager and anxious for his nation, for their guidance, and that he was compassionate towards the believers and merciful towards the believers. So then, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he moves on and gives the meaning. So he's given a proof for that second part of the Shahada, and now he gives the meaning of it. Just as before, he explained the meaning of the first part of the Shahada, la ilaha illallah, affirmation or negation of worship for anything besides Allah, and affirmation of all worship for Allah alone. Now, likewise with the second part of the Shahada, justification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's given evidence for it, that he is indeed Allah's Messenger. Now he gives the meaning of it. So he says, and what occurs on page 180 of the Lebanese edition, page 139 of the Egyptian edition, the Egyptian print, ومعنى شهادة أن محمد رسول الله طاعته فيما أمر وتصديقه فيما أخبر واجتناب ما عنه نهى وزجر وأن لا يعبد الله إلا بما شرع. He said, and the meaning of the testification that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah is to obey him in whatever he commanded, and to believe in the truth of whatever he informed of, and to avoid whatever he forbade and prohibited, and that Allah is not worshipped, and that Allah is not to be worshipped except with that which he legislated. He, the Most High, legislated. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said in explanation, the testification, the shahada, that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah has a meaning and something which it necessitates. It is not just a mere saying to be said. So its meaning is that you acknowledge with your tongue and with your heart that he is the Messenger of Allah. You say it with your tongue and you believe it, you hold it as your creed and belief with your heart that he is Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Shaykh moves on to some things which will not suffice in this regard. He said, as for saying it upon the tongue, whilst denying it in the heart, a person saying upon their tongue, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, I testify that Muhammad is Rasulullah Allah. Shaykh said, as for testifying to it upon the tongue, whilst denying it in the heart, then this is the way of the munafiqeen. This is the way of the hypocrites. Just as Allah informed us about them in His saying, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ اتَّخَذُوا أَيْمَانَهُمْ جُنَّةً. Surah Al-Munafiqun, the 63rd Surah, Ayahs 1 to 2. With the explanation, this ayah being an address to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when the hypocrites come to you, when the hypocrites come to you, they say, we bear witness that you are indeed the Messenger of Allah. And Allah knows that you are certainly His Messenger. And Allah bears witness that the hypocrites are certainly liars. They take their oaths as a cover to shield themselves. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they make their oaths, meaning their testimonies, the witnesses, witnessing that which they give. They make their testimonies a screen to conceal them. So they block and prevent people from Allah's path. So this shows that saying or speaking, saying it upon the tongue is not sufficient. Saying it upon the tongue is not sufficient. I mean, that's what the hypocrites did. They said and they stated upon their tongues, they bore witness upon their tongues that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Allah's Messenger. So the Shaykh extracts from that, that shows that stating it upon the tongue only is not sufficient. Then he moves on. And likewise, believing in the heart, whilst not saying it upon the tongue, for one who is able to speak, this also will not suffice. The person is able to speak with his tongue, and he refuses to speak, say it with his tongue, this will not suffice. Because the people of Shirk, the Mushrikun, they used to know that he was Allah's Messenger. However, يُعَانِدُونَ, they had عِنَاد. They obstinately refused. They refused, they knew it in their hearts, but they refused outwardly to say that he was the Messenger of Allah. The Shaykh said, they knew that he was the Messenger of Allah. However, they obstinately refused. Just as He, the Most High, said, قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. Surah Al-An'am, the 6th Surah, Ayah 33, with the explanation, we certainly know that that which they say grieves you. However, they do not believe you to be a liar, but rather the wrongdoers just outwardly reject the signs of Allah. Shaykh Fawzan said, so in their hearts they acknowledge his messengership. And they know that he is indeed Allah's Messenger. However, they were prevented from kibr. They were prevented from haughtiness or pride. And they were prevented by inad, obstinacy, from affirming his messengership. With the mushrikeen, the mushrikun in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they knew in their hearts that he was indeed Allah's Messenger. But they refused because of obstinacy, because of pride, because of obstinacy, They refuse to affirm it upon their tongues. And Shaykh mentioned another reason. He said, and they were likewise prevented by al-hasad, by envy, as is the case with the Jews and with the Arab mushriks. Then he gives an example of this. He said, Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Hisham, was the famous Abu Jahl, the famous enemy of Allah's deen. He said, Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Hisham, he used to acknowledge and say, we and Banu Hashim used to be equal in all matters. However, now they say, from us has come a messenger, and there is no messenger from us. And how can we bring out a messenger? The Shaykh said, so therefore they denied his messengership out of envy towards Banu Hashim. He was not from their branch of the tribe. He was not from their clan. He was from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Banu Hashim, and Abu Jahl was from Banu Makhzum, a different branch of Quraysh. So therefore, he refused out of envy. In a footnote, they mention, you can see this, the like of this report, in the Sirah and Abawiyah of Ibn Hisham, in the story of where the Quraysh listened to the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a long story. And just very briefly, in addition to that, Ibn Hisham, obviously he's a bridgement of Ibn Ishaq, he mentions that Ibn Ishaq said that Az-Zuhri related it to me. Az-Zuhri, the famous Imam from the Tabi'in, he just related this story without quoting his source. So it's another, it's a mursal narration, there's a missing link or links in the chain. However, Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, in his Sirah, his authentic, in his Sirah Nabawiyyah, he mentions the same or very similar report with regard to Abu Jahl. And he mentions this reported by Al-Bayhaqi, that is in his book, Dala'il al-Nubuwah, from a hadith of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, with the same thing, that Abu Jahl, he said this. And Shaykh al-Albani, in his checking, he said his chain of narration is hasan, is good. And that report, it contains the wording that Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, the companion of Allah at that time, he said, that was the first time I saw Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Abu Jahl took hold of me. And then he mentions the report here, what happened. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the Qur'an to them and they refused to accept. He said, and then Abu Jahl said to me, فَوَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا يَقُولُ حَقٌّ وَلَكِنْ carried on. He said, by Allah, I know for certain that what he's saying is the truth. However, then he starts with the tribal thing. That Banu Hashim, we and Banu Hashim used to be equal in everything. This matter mentions and matters that we used to be equal in this man and this thing and this thing. But now they say that they have a prophet and we can't, there's no way we can have a prophet. So therefore he refused to accept it. And both of these branches, obviously the branch of Banu Makhzum, the branch of Abu Jahl, and the Banu Hashim, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was from, they both, their lineage both goes back to Murrah ibn Ka'ab ibn Luay, which was a number of generations back, 8 generations back. So end of the side point on that note, in other words, that the narration is authentic, inshallah. Shaykh al-Bani said the chain of narration is hasan for this incident. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said, so he just made the point, Abu Jahl refused, and his tribe, his people, they refused, they denied his messengership out of envy towards the Banu Hashim. Then he said, and Abu Talib said, meaning the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the same clan, he said, Abu Talib said in his poem, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةَ أَوْ حَذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. said, Abu Talib said, obviously Abu Talib, who died as an unbeliever, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who sheltered him and aided him and the like, he said, but died an unbeliever, refused to accept. He said in his famous poem, his qasida, "And I certainly know that the religion of Muhammad is the best of the religions of the people. If it were not for fear of being rebuked or fear of being abused, you would have found me clearly embracing that." Shaykh Fawzan commented, "So he acknowledged in his heart the messengership of Muhammad. However, al-hamiyya al-jahiliyya li-qawmi, zealousness for his own people from the days of ignorance prevented him." So he did not reject the religion of Abdul Muttalib, which was the worship of idols. So therefore they acknowledged the prophethood. They acknowledged his prophethood in their hearts. So acknowledgement in the heart that he is Allah's messenger is not sufficient. Rather, it is essential that the person states it with his tongue. And if that were enough, then these people would have been Muslims. They would have been counted, they would have been Muslims. But if they didn't in their hearts, Abu Jahl knew, Abu Talib knew, but they died as unbelievers. That was not enough to make them Muslims. But they knew in their heart that he was indeed Allah's messenger. Then Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, moving on, so saying it's not enough that a person knows it in his heart, but won't say it before, but refuses to say it upon his tongue. It's likewise not sufficient that a person says it upon his tongue, whilst in his heart he denies it. Then he said, "Then it is not sufficient that a person states it upon his tongue and acknowledges it with his heart. Still not enough. Rather, a third matter is essential, which is al-ittiba', which is following, to follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Shaykh Fawzan said, "Allah the Most High said, with regard to him, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ." Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 157. With the explanation, so those who believe in him, you know, address about with regard to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those who believe in him, honor him, aid him, and follow the light which he was sent down with, they are the successful ones. The ones who believe in him, honor him, aid him, and follow the light which was sent down with him, they are the successful ones. Shaykh Fawzan said, so if a person were to aid him to the extent that Abu Talib did, and to defend him, whilst knowing that he is Allah's messenger, however he does not follow him, then he will not be a Muslim, unless and until he follows him. And therefore, the Shaykh said, the author, Shaykh al-Islam, the Shaykh said, and the meaning of the testification, ومعنى شهادته أن محمد رسول الله طاعته فيما أمر وتصديقه فيما أخبر واجتناب ما نهى عنه وزجر وأن لا يعبد الله إلا بما شرع. This is why, the Shaykh said, and the meaning of the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah is to obey him regarding whatever he commanded, and to believe in his truthfulness with regard to whatever he informed of, and to avoid whatever he forbade and prohibited, and that Allah is not worshipped except with that which he legislated. The Shaykh said, So there has to be, along with acknowledgement of his messengership, outwardly and inwardly and in belief, there has to be following of him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Person has to have ittiba' of him, has to follow him as well. And that is summarized in these four phrases which the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned. And all of that that's essential from the second part of the Shahada is summarized in these four phrases that the author brought. And then the remainder of the next part, the Shaykh explains these four matters in detail. So he said the first, ta'atuhu fima amara, to obey him in whatever he commanded. He said, Allah, the Majestic and Most High, says, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Surah Al-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 80. With the explanation, whoever obeys the messenger, then he has indeed obeyed Allah. He said, and he, the perfect, says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Surah Al-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 64. With the explanation, and we did not send a messenger except that he should be obeyed by the permission of Allah. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so he joined obedience to the messenger along with obedience to him, he the perfect and most high. And he joined disobedience to the messenger to disobedience to him. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Surah Al-Jinn, the 72nd surah, ayah 23. With the explanation, and whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger, then there will be for him the fire of hell. They will remain forever in it. And Shaykh Razan said, and he said, وَإِن تُطِيئُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. Surah An-Nur, the 24th surah, ayah 54. With the explanation, and if you obey him, you will be rightly guided. He said, and he said, وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Surah An-Nur, 24th surah, ayah 56. Same surah, two ayahs later. With the explanation, and obey the messenger, so that you may receive mercy. Shaykh Fawzan said, so it is essential to obey him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the person who bears witness that he is the messenger of Allah, then it becomes binding upon him to obey him regarding whatever he commanded. Because of his saying, he the Most High, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Surah Al-Hashr, 59th surah, ayah 7. With the explanation, and whatever the messenger gives you, then accept it. And whatever he forbids you from, then desist. And the Shaykh said, and his saying, فَلْيَحْفَرِ الَّذِينِ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ. Surah An-Nur, the 24th surah, ayah 63. With the explanation, so let those who oppose his command beware, lest a trial befall them, or a painful punishment befall them. Shaykh Razan said, "An amrihi, his command, they disobey, they oppose his command." He said, meaning the command of the messenger. So therefore, it is essential to obey the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's the first of the four matters which explain the meaning of the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. Then Shaykh Fawzan moves on to the second one. He said, the second one, تَصْدِيقُهُ فِيمَا أَخْبَرَ, believing in the truth of whatever he informed of. He said, because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed of many matters of the hidden and the unseen. He informed about Allah and about the angels, and he informed about matters which were not present, and he informed about matters of the future with regard to the establishment of the hour and the signs of the hour and paradise and the fire, and he informed about matters of the past with regard to conditions of the previous nations. So it is essential to attest to the truth of whatever he informed of, because it is true, there is no falsehood in it. He the Most High said, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Surah An-Najm, 53rd Surah, Ayahs 3-4. With regard to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the explanation, he does not speak from his own desires, it is just revelation sent. Shaykh Fawzan commented, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not speak with these reports or with these commands or prohibitions. He did not speak with these reports or with these commands and prohibitions. He did not speak with anything from his own self, alayhi salatu wassalam. He only spoke through wahi, through revelation from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So therefore his reports are true. Whatever he reported is true. And whoever does not believe him with regard to that which he informed of, then he is not a mu'min, he is not a believer. And he is not true, he is not truthful in his testification that he is the Messenger of Allah. How can he testify that, how can a person testify that he is indeed the Messenger of Allah and then disbelieve in what he narrates? How can he bear witness that he is Allah's Messenger and then not obey his command? This is a contradiction. Then the Shaykh moves on to the third matter from the meaning of the testification. اجتناب ما نهى عنه وزجر, avoiding whatever he forbade and prohibited. Shaykh Fawzan said, keep away from whatever the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade you with. He forbade you from many sayings, actions and characteristics. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not forbid something unless it contained harm and it contained evil. It's the principle with regard to everything that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and forbade. As the Shaykh said, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not come and forbid something, anything at all, unless it contained harm and it contained evil. Whether we know that, we can see that, or whether we don't, we need to be sure that if he forbade it, that's it. There is harm in it and there's evil in it. Whether we know it or we don't know it, that it's there, that's the case. Then the Shaykh said, and he would not command something except something containing good and containing righteousness. So if the servant does not avoid that which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited, then he is not truly bearing witness to his messengership. Rather, he is contradicting himself. How can he bear witness that he is Allah's Messenger and then not avoid that which
the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade him from. And Allah the Most High says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Surah Al-Hashr, 59th Surah, the Ayah 7, the same ayah that came before, with the explanation, and whatever the Messenger gives you, then accept it. And whatever he forbids you from, then desist. Keep away from it. The Shaykh said, and he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ وَإِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when I forbid you from something, then keep away from it. And when I command you with something, when I command you with a matter, then do as much of it as you are able to. When I forbid you from something, then keep away from it. And when I command you with a matter, then do from it what you are able to. In a footnote they mentioned the hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari, hadith 7288, and reported by Muslim, hadith 1337, and it's from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. The Shaykh said, so it is essential to avoid whatever he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade. And he mentions the fourth matter from the meaning of the testification that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Messenger of Allah. He said the fourth, أَنْ لَا يُعْبَدَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِمَا شَرَعَ, that Allah is not to be worshipped except with that which he legislated. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, restrict yourself in acts of worship to that which Allah legislated for his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So do not perform an act of worship which the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not legislate. Even if it is your intention in doing so, or as others said, even if your intention in doing it is a good intention, even if you are desiring reward, I mean, this action, if it's not something legislated, brought by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, act of worship which he didn't bring, it's not legislated by Allah for him, don't do it. Even if your intention in doing it is a good intention, you're intending good, you're intending to get reward, still don't do it. Sheikh said, for this action, even with that good intention, for this action will be batil, a futile action, because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come with it. The intention will not suffice. Rather, there must be ittiba. You must be following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, the Shaykh al-Fawzan is drawing attention to the fact that for an action to be acceptable, for Allah to accept an action from a person, there are two conditions, not just one. One is the correct intention, but secondly, it has to be done following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them won't suffice. Then the Shaykh said, so actions of worship are tawqifiyya. Actions of worship depend upon a text. It is not permissible to perform acts of worship which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not legislate. He said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa radd. Whoever does an action which our affair is not in accordance with, then it is rejected. And in a footnote they mentioned, the checking is preceded, as we heard before, this is a famous hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. And Shaykh Fawzan gives a second evidence. He said, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي تمسكوا بها وعدوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. He said, he صلى الله عليه وسلم said, adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided orthodox khulafa, caliphs who come after me. Adhere to it and cling on to it with your molar teeth, and beware of newly introduced matters, for every newly introduced matter is an innovation, a bid'ah, and every bid'ah innovation is a going astray. In a footnote they mention this hadith is reported by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Imam Ahmad from the famous hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah radiallahu anhu. This is another hadith, same as the previous hadith from the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi. And this hadith, as we had before, was declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani. And as for the wording at the end, وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, then that wording there is reported by An-Nasai. Just in case someone goes back and they check and they say, look, that doesn't contain that wording, where's that word? That wording at the end, وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Every innovation is misguidance, or rather, it's part of the same hadith. The addition of the end, and every misguidance is in the fire, that is reported by An-Nasai. So this hadith, with this full wording here, is reported by all of the ones mentioned. Abu Dawud, At-Tirmidhi, and Ibn Majah, and Imam Ahmad. And it is sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani. Shaykh al-Fawzan says, so performing an act of worship which was not legislated by Allah's Messenger is counted as a bid'ah innovation, as an evil innovation, which is prohibited. Even if so-and-so or so-and-so holds it as his saying. It doesn't matter. So-and-so, whoever he is, so-and-so, whoever he is, did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come with this matter, with this action of worship? No. So it doesn't matter if so-and-so holds it or so-and-so holds it, or if it's done by so-and-so from the people. If it's done by whoever does it from the people, it makes no difference. So because it is something outside what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, then it is bid'ah and innovation and dalala. You can't just say, well, my intention is good though. It doesn't matter, it's something good, it's a new thing. It doesn't matter, shall I say. It doesn't matter who said it, who holds it. If it's outside what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, then it is bid'ah and dalala. Innovation and misguidance. So therefore, Allah may not be worshipped except with that which He legislated upon the tongue of His Messenger. And the muhdathat, those matters newly introduced into the religion. Obviously, matters of muhdathat mean things introduced into the religion, not matters of the daily life or that. Matters introduced into the religion. And false superstitions are all false and futile actions. And they will be a deficiency for a person, and misguidance for the one whoever does it. I mean, even the person claimed, I'm doing this, it's something good and it's praiseworthy, and like the shepherd, no, it's not the case. Rather, anyone who does this, it will be a deficiency for him, and misguidance for the one who does it, even if he is intending good by it. And intending to gain reward. Since it is not the intended goals that are counted, rather what is counted is al-ittiba', the following of the Messenger, and obedience, and compliance. And if we were free to do whatever we wish, and to perform as many different acts of worship as we want, then we would not have needed the sending of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Making this point there, if we could just do whatever worship we like, whatever act of worship we choose to do, we make it up, we do it, we can do as much of it as we like. If that were the case, there would be no need for the sending of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to us then. Shaykh said, but rather from the mercy of Allah upon us is that He did not leave us to our own intellects, and He did not leave us to so-and-so and so-and-so from the people, because these are matters which are referred back to the legislation, to Allah and His Messenger. And nothing from them, I mean acts of worship, and nothing from them will benefit except that which conforms to that which Allah and His Messenger legislated. So this means avoiding all of the bid'ah, all of the innovations. And whoever introduces an innovation, whoever introduces anything, any innovation into the religion, which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come with, then he has not truly borne witness that he is the Messenger of Allah. He has not given the true testification, because the one who testifies that he is indeed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a true testification, then he will restrict himself to that which he legislated, and he will not introduce anything from himself or follow anything which has been introduced by those who preceded him. The Shaykh said, this is the meaning of the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. It is not just a few words which are said upon the tongue without adherence and without action and without restricting oneself to that which this Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. والحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد. And what continues, he moves with me next, the next pillar of the pillars of Islam, prayer and the fast and the zikat and so on. We'll move on to that next time, inshallah. And just as a reminder, for those who don't know, which probably anybody, that tomorrow is the 10th of Muharram, then it's from the Sunnah to fast the 10th day of Muharram, which have Ashura, and there are a number of narrations in that regard. The problem is the hadith reported by Muslim, the hadith of Abu Qatada, radiallahu anhu, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said with regard to the fast of the day of Ashura, that he said, the fasting on the day of Ashura, I hope from Allah that it will wipe away the sins of the year which came before it, in the previous year. Hadith reported by Muslim. And a number of narrations like that. So no doubt it's from the Sunnah. It's recommended, highly recommended, that a person fast the day of Ashura, the 10th of the first month of the Islamic year, the 10th of Muharram, which is tomorrow. Just a brief